Would you hold up your Bibles? God, we're going to enter your word once again with thanksgiving. God, we come to it just asking you to teach us once again, lead us and guide us by the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been asking this question now for a few weeks, and I want to see the show of hands once again. Just humor me, honor me. If you would, how many of you would say that you want to win in life? Anybody want to win? Anybody want to lose? Good. Just making sure. I was going to ask you to wait outside because we're not about that in here. So as I kind of told you last week, if I were to ask you to define success or winning in life, what would that winning look like? We would have lots of different answers, right? Some might say maybe it's making a certain amount of money or reaching a certain tax bracket, right? If I meet this tax bracket, if I could live in that kind of house or drive that kind of car or have that kind of watch or wear those kinds of clothes, I might consider myself successful. But Jesus has other ideas on what winning looks like. And we have begun to study over the last several weeks through the book of Romans. And I believe the book of Romans is the pathway to victory. And if you'll begin to study and adhere to the truths found in Romans, you'll find yourself winning in life. Because remember, Romans tells us that we are more than what? Conquerors in Christ. And since we are in the year to conquer, we are in the year to win. And I want you to finish this year and look back on December the 31st, 2019, and say, this was a year that I conquered some stuff. I feel like I'm winning this year. Like the old Charlie Sheen winning. Young people like, who's Charlie Sheen and what are you talking about? I want you to win. I want you to win in every part of your life. Why? Because Jesus died on that cross for you to win. He died so you could have abundant life in Christ. Not mediocre life, not subpar life, abundant life. Anybody living it? Anybody got? Three of y'all. Anybody got abundant life? I got, come on, dig back. Like, yeah. Somebody, is anybody winning up in here? Week number one of the series, I talked to you about the big problem. The big problem is sin. The sin is caused by self. And so often we forget that we're not sinners because we sin. We're sinners because that's who we are when we were born. We were born into sin because of what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. And so often when we find ourselves, when life revolves around this, I'm probably living in that sin even today. The effects of it, obviously, I told you then that week that the spiritual effects of my sin have been covered, but there's earthly consequences for my sin. If I do you wrong, you probably gonna get back at me. If I steal something, I may go to jail. If I do something against the law, I could be in trouble. You know, there's all kind of earthly consequences, but the spiritual ones have been taken care of by Jesus. Amen? Week number two, I talked to you about the big solution. The big solution to our big problem is who?
Jesus.
Only my wife knows. Thank God she knows. What's the big solution to our big problem?
Jesus.
I want to say it loud. The name that is above every name.
Jesus.
There you go. Amen. That's great. Thanks for participating. We're just going to get more like that throughout the day. I promise you. The questions do get harder. I'm trying to wake you up, get the mind moving, all right? I want you to know, just like father, how many of you, you got your dads all stood up? How many of you dads, the minute that your wife had the first baby, you became the perfect father? Anybody became the perfect father? Only me? Man, I was terrible at this fatherhood thing in the beginning. I can tell you a story. My daughter, Caitlin, who's not here yet, she'll be here next. She was an infant born, and she had jaundice, right? And she had to go back to the hospital after she was already home and was going to have to stay a couple of days. Well, man, as a new mom, Peggy is freaking out. And I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and stay at the house so I can work out. I want you to understand, that went over not very well, because I didn't have a clue that she was upset because this baby was going back in the hospital. I did come around after much conversation and spent a couple of days at the hospital. But we don't get it right away, right? Because fatherhood, like walking with God, is a process. You know, there's a process, in a spiritual process, that happens the minute you accept Jesus. It's called sanctification. The problem with sanctification, like fatherhood, is it's a process. Because the minute you became a father, the minute your child was born, you didn't become a great father. The minute you're born again, you don't become a great Christian. Matter of fact, most of us start walking with God, we don't look nothing like a Christian. There ain't nothing about my behavior, nothing about my ways, nothing about my beliefs that even slightly resemble Jesus. Because I just, by the way, is the process of holiness. It's Jesus said, the minute you're saved, you're holy. But you don't look holy. There ain't nothing about you acts holy. There ain't nothing about you seems holy, right? Because it's a process. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, the process called holiness, or the process called sanctification. Your pathway to victory begins on this road called sanctification. And if you'll decide to get on the road with me today and walk this walk, here are some things that are kind of indicative, if you will, of a life of sanctification. The first one that you'll notice in the life of almost everybody who becomes a believer is there has to be this thing called dying to self. We got to learn to die, which is not, by the way, a very popular thing. Hey, listen, would you come along? I'm going to ask you to die. Yeah, you know, I'm not really. Matter of fact, if someone had told you before you met Jesus that the process was going to be you dying to self, you'd have been like, I'm going to go ahead and pass. I'm going to go ahead and find some other route to take because I'm not really into that dying thing. Matter of fact, most of us are scared of it. And so we got to learn to die to self. If you would, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And we're just going to study the entire lesson today in Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to teach you a few things about this big process called sanctification that starts with dying to self. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning? Remember, we just came out of the big problem and the big solution, and here's the big process. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, Paul says. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? It means you got to die. We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have or live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Dying the self, needless to say, is not a popular idea. It's not something that we all would say, hey, I'm signing up. I want to be in the dying line. If I'm going to say, hey, there's a sign-up sheet in the information station for those who want to die to self. You got one for living to self? You got one for like a pool party or something? Because I'm not really into this dying thing. But I want you to understand, until we die to self, there's no way we can live in victory, because victory's found in Christ, and we got to be in Christ, dying to self, him killing the flesh so that we can live abundantly in Christ. But the only way to that abundant life in Christ is death of self. When I live out the surrendered life, what I find is that the sin that once had this firm grip on me, not so strong anymore, because I'm surrendered, because I'm allowing his spirit to fill me. I'm allowing his presence to move me. I'm allowing his direction to lead me. It's no longer me in control. Remember, it's self. It's no longer me. It's him in control. And when he's in control, I find myself where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing at the time I'm supposed to be doing it. Do I have it perfected? Not even close. Will you have it perfected today when you leave church? Not likely. But the minute that you say, I'm going to surrender a little bit more, he says, good, I got a little bit more to work with. I can do a little bit more in him. I can do a little bit more in her. Dying to self starts with my recognition of needing a Savior, and it continues with my obedience to follow his path. Listen, we get to the place of repentance, right? That's the changing of our minds. That's the first step. So we did a couple of weeks ago. We got to the place of repentance where we said, hey, I don't want to continue the way I've been going. I want to do some things differently. We start to change our mind. That's what all repentance is. Repentance isn't saying I'm sorry. Repentance is deciding to do something different. Hello? Right? The second step that we see throughout the Bible after repentance is baptism. In the culture in which we live, many of us were baptized as babies. And so I was already baptized as a baby. But my question always is, did you decide to do it or did your parents decide? Well, no, my parents decided to do it. Why should I have to do it again? Because you didn't have anything to do with that. Once you've made the decision to follow Christ, now do it so the world can see the Christ in you. Because I want you to know that when you're born again, there's no physical manifestation. You don't get the sticker on your forehead that says, I'm a follower of Jesus. Maybe we should just tattoo that right across. People would just know, you know. Hey, there's a follower. Look, how do you know? Well, it says it right here on his forehead. The steps of repentance and baptism in the life of a believer is the physical manifestation of what God's already done on the inside. And it shows people out there what's happening in here. It's an inside job. You've got to die to self. The second process that we see in this pathway to victory in the big process is living out God's plan daily. I'm a live for Jesus today. Tomorrow, I'm not really sure. You know, I'm going to go do my own thing today because this is like fun day. So I'm going to go do my own thing. And so we think we're just going to go, we're going to come in, we're going to go out, we're going to come in. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 8. Look what it says. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live in him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means, Paul says. Now, Paul's telling us here that if we died with Christ, then we will also live with Christ. But not sometimes, all the time. So I want you to know, because you decide I'm gonna live for him today and not for him tomorrow, he's still with you everywhere you go. He doesn't go, well, you go over there, I'm gonna stay, we'll wait for you. I'm gonna wait outside while you go. No, everywhere you go, he is, because he's not with you, he's in you. Now, we get to make a choice. Are we gonna live with Jesus and for Jesus every day? Or are we just going to do things our own way? You know, I know that the world we live in the culture in which we live, it's hard to live for God. There's a lot of forces pulling against you to live for all kinds of other things, right? Hundreds of religions in this world, lots of things pulling against you to live something that is anti-Christ. It's hard, and I want you to know, but Paul tells us, since Christ died for us once and for all, that you can count yourself dead to sin. the thing that once had a hold ain't supposed to have the same hold. And if it does, maybe you need to do a little bit more of this. You know? I'm tired of getting pulled that way. I'm tired of always going back. I'm tired of always facing the same things over and over and over. Turn around, face that way, and start walking that way like this. All right, God, I'm going to go where you want to go and do what you want me to do. I'm not going back there anymore. If he said that we can count ourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ, it means we must have a choice. I'm not saying that the enemy's not trying to get you to trip up, that he doesn't know your every weakness, that he's not always beckoning, always, come on, don't you want to try this one more time? Doesn't this, you know, this feels good. You're going to love it. Yeah, I've been down that road a few times. I want you to know it'll never be Jesus tempting you to do anything negative, anything sinful, because there's nothing about Jesus sinful. There's nothing about Jesus that wants to lead you back. As a matter of fact, the cross tells me that everything that Jesus did was to break sin's bond in my life. When you wake up every day and you make a decision, I'm going to live for Jesus, you are growing in the big process. Live out God's plan every day. Number three, become singularly focused. You know, the Bible, James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. Become singularly focused. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. Look at, there's the word allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Listen, your allegiance says a lot about your priorities. If my priorities are self and sin, I will not grow or go the way God intended me to grow and go. Still on the path, still grow, still a Christian, still got the benefit of heaven, but I'm not going to grow or go to the places or to the destiny that God has for me because I'm so wrapped up in me, so wrapped up in what I want to do, not his plan, but my plan, right? At some point, we have to choose. We're either going to live the life of sin or our new life in Christ. Well, we get to choose. Am I going to go my way or his way? Verse 18 tells me that we've been set free from sin, and now I'm a slave of righteousness. Are you a slave to the good or are you a slave to the bad? Are you a slave to knowing that you're justified in Christ? That Jesus looks at you and said, what's sin? He looks at you and says, it's just as if it never happened. You know, the problem is we think that there's like an in-between with God. I'm going to walk with God just kind of right in the middle. I'm not going to be too much in or too much out. Imagine going to the swimming pool today and saying, I'm going to go ahead and jump in and just get a little bit wet. I don't know about you, but when I jump in, everything wet, except my hair. We're going to live for God or we're going to live against God. But there's no in between. Jesus even said the words, you're either for me or against me. Decide today, are you going to serve me? You're going to serve the world. You're going to serve me? You're going to serve yourself. You're going to serve me? You're going to serve Satan. It's up to you. We get to choose. Double-mindedness breeds instability. We're either going to feed our spirit or we're going to feed our flesh. Up to us. Number four, we must, if we're going to grow in this sanctification, if we're going to continue in it, we must be embracing the process. We must embrace. And nobody likes the process. We all just want to be there. Just get me there. Hate the process. Romans 6:19 says, Paul says, I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. The word holiness, as used in verses 19 and 22, is the Greek word hagiosmos, and it means sanctification. That's the process of holiness in the life of a believer. And the moment we accept Jesus as Savior, he deems you holy and he deems you righteous. He deems you sanctified and he deems you justified, even though there's nothing about your life that looks like it. Because you're being sanctified and justified has nothing to do with you doing anything. It has to do with everything that Jesus did on that cross. I'm not pointing to the guy sitting in the back row. I'm pointing to that cross standing next to him. What happens the moment you start the process called sanctification? You start to look more like Jesus. And every day that you wake up and you say, I'm making a decision to follow your plan for my life today, Jesus, you know what happens? You look a little more like him. We were in my men's group last Monday night, and one of the guys says, you know, I'm not quite where I want to be. And someone else brought up the fact that he wasn't quite where he used to be either. When you think you're not quite where you should be or where you want to be, all you got to do is look back and say, and I'm not where I used to be. That's the process called sanctification. Process, the beginning to look more like Jesus. Let's be honest. Sanctification is hard. The process is hard. There are going to be things in your life that you have to relearn. The world tells us, look out for yourself because no one else will. And Jesus says, look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. The world says, take care of yourself. If you don't, you're going to get left out. And Jesus says, do unto others as you'd have them do to you. The world says, take revenge. Get them back for what they did. And Jesus says, forgive as I've forgiven you. You see, Jesus' teachings are going to be a complete 180-degree different than what the world teaches. And so if what you're learning is what the world has taught you all this time, it's time for some new stuff. The things God will show you and the way he'll grow you during the sanctification process will be vastly different from anything that the world deems valuable and acceptable. Nevertheless, you have to trust God because it's going to look like you're going against the grain. I'm going against the... Listen to what I'm saying. You start to do things God's way, you're going to be countercultural because your culture is going to say, well, why aren't you doing it this way? Everybody else is. Yeah, but I'm not like everybody else. I'm going to do things God's way. Because it says that the road is narrow that leads to life, and only a few find it, but it says the road's broad that leads to death, and hey, ain't a whole bunch of people on that road. Wouldn't it have been nice the moment that your kids were born, you became the perfect father? And wouldn't it have been nice the moment you were born again and you became the perfect Christian? So don't beat yourselves up because you're not where you want to be or you're not where you think you should be because you're not where you used to be either. Would you stand with me? The process, this is what the process looks like. We've got to die to self, live out God's plan every day, become singularly focused and embrace the process. Now I'm going to ask you this morning, if you want to be in the process or you're a part of the process and you just want to be sure that you want God to strengthen you in the process, I want you to join me down front and I'm going to pray for you. lot of works in progress right here, God. A lot of works in progress. Are you thankful to be a work in progress? I'm thankful to be a work in progress. And God, I'm thankful for the men and women who are works in progress here at the altar today. God, once again, we are just surrendering to you, Holy Spirit, to lead us, to direct our paths, to guide our steps, God, to not go where we want to go any longer, but to simply follow you. We want to be so in tune with your voice, so in tune with your leading, God, that we will not take one step to the right or to the left of the exact place where you want us to go. I'm thankful for these men and women. I pray an empowerment over them by your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a happy Father's Day to you. See you next week.